Right now, at this moment, there is a learning moment, a teaching moment, cooking right now. Anybody got a clue what it is? You made a decision, and some of you, it's going to be a hard decision, but you made a decision to be here. You could be with the Kansas City Chiefs. You could be there. You made a decision, and that decision is, I would rather go to see the Kansas City Chiefs than to be with Jesus. I think you made the right choice. I would hate to be in a teaching moment for which I would be caught just like that, sitting in with the Kansas City Chiefs. Glad I didn't, and I'm glad you didn't. And those that you know of that went to see the Kansas City Chiefs, do this. I have, over the years there, I've had a 100 conversations about what I'm talking about right here. And those conversations happens to be, it is about grace. Grace plus nothing, or grace plus faith and obedience. Or you might say grace that entails all of righteousness is grace. And in that grace plus nothing, without being confrontational, without saying just a whole lot about it, is, and I've talked to him personally, I've had this discussion, and that discussion is, I am saved, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I've got the grace, and I don't care what else happens right here, don't matter what's going on in my life or anybody else's life right here, I got the grace and I'm saved. Or, if you're like me, grace plus all of the demands of Jesus. What does he demand and what's his criteria and what does he say? And so we're gonna talk about that just a little bit. And I've got the next couple of slides, or at least the next slide right here, it has some verses that are choice verses of people who believe grace plus zilch, nothing else. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If you never run into that, then you need to run into it. You need to confront that. You need to be able to fight that battle right here, because I see it as more than just plain grace and saved, and I'm going to eternity just right now, blasting off. So let's see what the Bible says. Here's what they say. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where is boasting? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We need to understand what's boasting got to do with this, and what are the deeds of the law, and whose deeds, and where do the deeds manifest themselves from? The other verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's boasting again, and there's works again. All right. Now, this works right here, we have to identify those works. What works? Is it the works of the world, the works of the devil, the works of a human being? What works are we talking about? And the deeds of the law. What deeds are that? Are they? So let's move further. Now, here's a scripture here that talks and begins to unravel and begins to talk about these issues that I'm speaking about right now. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned. This guy was a blind man. And Jesus came and he anointed his eyes and he could now see. And so they're asking him, how did this happen? What happened to you? Who did this? Who's responsible for this? Jesus says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There is a work to be done. You're going to find that as we read through these scriptures. There is a job to be accomplished. There is a requirement that is required. There is, Jesus is asking, with this grace that I'm about to bestow upon you, I'm going to share that with you. I'm going to pour that on you. You're going to get this grace with these divine thoughts that are involved here. And so he's talking here that Jesus himself is doing the works of God. I must do them, he says. And so there's something there for which we can work into our understanding of grace right here. There are some things that are the work of God, and those things we've got to do, and if we don't do them, it's not going to look real good. All right, now right here, I've got four different kinds of work. We can do any four of these, and they all have to do with grace. Many will say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Whoa, boy, we got some guy that's prophesied, and maybe the prophecy came true. He's prophesying. We're looking at him. He's a prophet, and he's doing the work of God. And we think, man, that's got to be fine. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. Here, that same guy or a bunch of guys who have working the work of the Lord right here, that he's casting out devils and he's prophesying in his name. Can't be better than that. He's got to be a good guy. Haven't we done many wonderful works? Here, we're looking at him. We're looking at her right here. And this woman or this man are doing all these works. They're prophesying. They're casting the devil out. They got to be good. It looks good to me. And what did Jesus say? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Can you prophesy? Can you do mighty works? Can you do these acts of so-called righteousness right here and be a worker of iniquity? And Jesus says, you bet. And it's done. And that's being accomplished wherever we go in America, wherever we might go in the world right here. You're going to see the prophesiers. You're going to see the evictors of hope, of evil spirits. You're going to see these mighty works done, proclaimed. We saw it. We know, man, that guy has done these mighty works right here. And if you've got the clarity and the understanding of Jesus right here, you can tell right here there's a difference. And he's not of God. He's not displaying the grace that we're expecting. And so what kind of works are we talking about here? And so this guy right here, number one, is that he is considered a worker of iniquity. Jesus saw him coming, knew who he was, knows what's in his heart right here, and is no good thing, and grace is not going to cover it. Number two, Jesus talking right here, and he's talking about people and the relationship to the devil. And it says, ye are of your father, the devil. So we're going to have cooking here. The devil is doing something, and the devil is doing a work. He's accomplishing something. He's got an ambition. He's got something in mind that he's going to accomplish. And that's what he wants to do to corrupt us and ruin us. And so your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now here you can get a grasp on this murder from the beginning. The Bible says that if I don't like you, if I despise you, if I hate you, what? If I am in that way right here, then I'm a murderer at heart. That's pretty strong. If I'm sitting here in my chair and I look across the building or in my mind and I can see what's going on and I can look at somebody and I'm thinking about somebody that I highly dislike right here and I'm conjuring up all kind of ruinous and negative thoughts towards that person, Jesus is sitting up there and he's saying right there, a murderer in the beginning. A murderer is doing his act. A murderer is thinking his murderous thoughts if we dislike somebody bad enough. And so that is a work that is accomplished by the devil through us. And the third one right here is saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed from his brother. If you know the story, they're trying to figure out who is legally married to this woman and to this man right here. Because there's been seven brothers, and the seven brothers have all come and gone. And so they're asking, who is the real husband of this woman? Well, the point is, it was Moses' idea. Moses come up with this solution as to who is, after seven marriages right here, who are you really married to? That was Moses' idea, Moses' thought, Moses' work. Then there's the fourth one right here. And the fourth one is God's work. And the difference between him and all these others before him is this. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? The works of God are the works that are going to be combined in this work of grace, and that comes together there, doing the works of God. What they said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent, and that's going to be God's work. Believe in Jesus. Believe that what he says is what we need to be doing. That's how we're thinking. That's what, how we formulate our religiosity and our understanding of the Bible and the Book of Mormon, is that we understand by understanding what is the work of God. And so we're going to see a few examples of the work of God. And those things are absolutely necessary for us to obtain the grace that we want. If you don't, if you're not involved, if you're not engaged with the works of God right here, then you're not involved with grace. And grace has not come on to you yet. So let's keep going. Two thieves. Now you know the story right here. Jesus is up there and he's hanging with two thieves. Three crosses. The one thief is what? The one thief, and we're talking about the kernel of what I'm trying to say on every slide right here is examining grace. All right, so the one thief right here, you got two thieves. They both stole, they're both criminals, they're both worthy of death, they're hanging on the cross. There's only one innocent person up there, and that's Jesus. All right, the one guy is talking to Jesus, and he's ticked, he's mad, he's angry, he's upset. And that one thief, he's hanging there, and he says, if you are the Son of God, if you are the real deal right here, then say something and get you and us off this cross. And he railed on him, the Bible says, he railed on him. So here he is, his last dying moments, he's there cursing Jesus. There's a difference between these two thieves. They both got a theft heart. They both have got their seedy ways of doing things, and they've been caught, and now they're punished for their acts of crime, all right? There's a difference between these two guys. The one guy right here is railing against Jesus. The other one is, and he can't, and I've got this in my head right here. If you're hanging on three nails, you're not talking very good. If you're hanging on three nails, you don't have much ability to be able to say something that's clear and distinct and wordy. And he's grunting it out. He's gasping it out. And what did he say? Remember me when you come in your kingdom. That was a work I want to declare to you. That was a major effort that he did. That all he could do is spit it out and grunt it out and gasp it out right here. When you're in your kingdom, remember me. What happened? Well, the grace came. The grace was on him. And I'll remember you. It says right here, Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You have got it. You did whatever is required for the parameters of grace. You are in it. You didn't even know what it is, and you've hardly known anything about righteousness, but you discern in your little heart, you discern that there is one that's superior, and that's Jesus. And one who dispenses grace, who is Jesus. And he's the only one that's got it, and he gives it based upon certain things, based upon his opinion, based upon his observation, what he's looking at and what he's seeing right here. I see somebody who's got a grain of goodness in him that I want to have with me forever. That's the story of the two thieves and Jesus right here. Now here's another scripture that has to do with what I consider grace. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. If you remember the story, in the story there, he gave five talents, and the other guy got two talents, and one guy got one talent. But the Lord of the vineyard, or his Lord right here, saw that he multiplied his efforts. That's important to Jesus. It's not important. He doesn't care for it. He doesn't like it. In fact, he banishes it from his thinking when we're doing nothing, when we're not engaged in his work, when we're not thinking about the grace of God and about the parameters of grace, about what we ought to do, how can I help, how can I work for the kingdom, how can I please the master, what can I do that is helpful for his righteousness' sake. And this guy did it well. And so he came back, and he didn't keep any of it, the way I understand. He started out with 5 talents, and he came back with 10, and he handed it to the Lord. And he gave it to him, and he says, this is yours right here, and what you have given me, I have multiplied that twofold. So he come back with 10 talents, and he gives it to the master. And the master is pleased by that. And so what does he say? Thou hast been faithful over a few things. That's what he's looking at. For this grace that's going to transpire, what he's looking for is, have you been faithful in a few things? How faithful are you? How, when he looks down and he's looking at each one of us, is there an examination going on? And that examination is, I applaud you. I like what you're doing. You're making some progress. You're helping the kingdom. You're helping me do the work. I didn't demand it of you. I didn't even ask it from you. But you did it, and you came back, and you multiplied what I gave you originally. That's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking in your life. He's looking in our lives. Is there something here that responds to the grace that I'm pouring out on him on this intimate basis? So, thou hast been faithful over a few things, and ask that question. What might the question be asked? Have you been faithful over a few things? How faithful are you? Now, I would say, you know, like I was talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, I would say that's a little decision that was made by you folks. I like football, and if it was on a Saturday, I'd be watching at my brother's house. But I think that all of you have made that decision. It's more important to be in the household of faith than it is there with the household of the devil. Sorry. And I think that we make those decisions that are grasped and understood by the Lord, and he can register, you have been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler of many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There is that joy of the Lord I see as grace. That joy of the Lord I see as the final understanding as to where you are in before Jesus. And so he's entered into the joy of the Lord because he's been faithful in a few little things. We need to ask that question. Have we been faithful? And that faithfulness will determine the grace that we get, in my opinion. Read some more. All right, here's one for you. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. If I'm saved, and I'm saying, Lord, Lord, and I go out and rob a bank, am I saved? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says I'm saved. I worked with a guy, and I was embarrassed because of it. I worked with this guy, and there was a whole crowd of us truck drivers all together right here. And he's pointing the finger at every one of us right here. He says, I don't know where you are, but I'm saved. Blatant disrespect for the feelings of these men. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, has got the grace. I see grace as a package coming from God right here. And he examines that, and he looks at it, and he dispenses it whenever and whoever he gives it to. Everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Doing the will of my Father is a work of God, not a work of the devil, as I said before, not a work of Moses, not our own work right here, but the work of God. If you're performing the work of God, it's counted unto you for righteousness. And that's where obedience comes in. The will of my Father, which is in heaven. We know that we have passed from death into life because we do what? Here is an insight as to who gets the grace. We know that we have passed into grace because we love the brethren. What's the opposite of that? We know that we have descended into hell if we have no love for the brethren. But here it is right here from Jesus' own lips, and this is in your Bible right here. We know we have passed from death into life because we love the brother. We love each other. Love is of God. Grace is filled up with love. All right, here's John the Baptist. This is going to be a short sermon. John the Baptist meets Jesus. And I've always wondered about that. Well, you know, they were cousins, and, you know, they surely run into each other sometime in their childhood or in their teenagehood, right here. But anyway, Jesus comes to John. He comes to John right here and says, I have need to be baptized. And what did I just say? I have need to be baptized. And how have you not heard this? Because I have. I don't need, water baptism is not necessary. I don't have to do that. I got grace, and that's all I need. With my grace, I'm going through right here, and water baptism is not necessary. And I like to say with thunder and clouds and smoke right here, who said that's not important? Who told you that that's not important? Jesus himself says, I have need to be baptized. I have got to do this. There is a council in heaven, and that council of heaven says, you have got to be baptized. And it starts with the master of men, Jesus. And he gave the example of it. We need to follow that example. And when we follow that example, we're getting the grace. The grace is gathering around us. And we're filled up with the grace right here. Because why? We are obedient. We're doing what he did as an example to us. I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me, is what John says. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. To do these things demanded of God through obedience and faith right here are the parameters of righteousness, fulfilling all righteousness. That's what Jesus is talking about. And then he suffered him, and then he did it. And so if Jesus, as our little Book of Mormon says, if Jesus says you do it, you do it. Okay, here's another one. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Who is that talking to? Is that talking just to unbelievers? He's talking to every human ear that is listening to him. Is that if you do not forgive, if you're not going to forgive, if you got an unforgiving heart and you got the devil in there kicking and screaming and scratching right here, if you're doing that, your Father will not forgive you. That's it, plain and simple. You can't get plainer and simpler than that. You can't have the grace. The grace is not going to save you if you do not love or if you don't forgive your neighbor. It's not going to happen. And so you can talk to somebody about grace all day, grace plus nothing, and grace plus nothing is a nothing philosophy right here. But here's the real philosophy, and here's the real deal, which is, you, no matter where you are, no matter what you think you are, no matter how saved you think you are, no matter how much grace that you believe that you've got right here, you cannot be forgiven if you don't forgive. It ain't going to happen. And that's part of the story. And that's part of the understanding and the insight of grace. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now I'm going to tell you, you probably heard this because I hear it all the time. You cannot be, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. What he's talking about, I'm saying this facetiously, what he's talking about is that when you come out as a pink little baby and you come out of your mama, and when you come out of your mama right here, you are born in a water environment and you pop the cork right here and a flood, and you are flooded out. And that's not what he's talking about. You can't be demanded. I can imagine me as a little fetus inside my mama and the Lord saying right here, Randy, I command you to be born of water. I got nothing to do with it. And that's how silly that is, you know, when somebody believes that, is that you must be born of water of birth. It is born of the Spirit, born of water by baptism. That's what you're doing in fulfillment, because Jesus set the path. He went before you and he told you what to do, and you did it. That's the grace by you doing what he's demanded of you. All right, here's a good one. For after they have escaped, and I've heard testimonies, and I've heard our people of our church make these kind of testimonies, And what they testify of is, I was in the pit of hell. I was committing heinous sins. If you knew what I had done right here, you'd never talk to me again. After they have escaped, and I believe that. I believe every human being, I don't care. There's only one way I understand in the scripture right here. There's only one sin that you can't get forgiven of, and what is that? Deny the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself says it right here. I believe David of old with the slingshot, David of old right here was a murderer and an adulterer. And you read that 51st chapter of Psalms right here, and you can hear and you can read that repentant heart that was turned from his wicked ways and went out a memory of the righteousness of God. After they have escaped, that's what that's talking about. You were some wicked man, wicked woman right here. You've done your wickedness right here until the Lord shook you up and washed you down, and you were made a child of the King. And by doing that right here, you escaped. Then it says, the pollution of this world, though through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Oh, what a tragedy. Remember reading that story about a man, and he was called over to this house. And over at this house right here, I'm not going to say too much, but over at this house right here, there was a possessed woman, a young girl. And that young girl was under demon possession. And he came and he laid his hands on her right here, and that demon fled. And he told that young woman, he says, young lady, the Lord has washed you clean. Don't go back to the dance halls where you've been frequenting. Don't do that, or that spirit will come back and get you. She says, okay. Well, a year later, he heard that woman went right back to where she was at and doing the things that she had been doing before she was delivered. And that's the truth of this. For after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. The devil got hold of them. The world spoke to them. They went to the Kansas City Chiefs instead of going to church. I mean, they're doing all this, and it says, entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than in the beginning. I don't care if you can say that all day long. This person right here says, you know, I was saved. I was delivered. I escaped the pollutions of this world. I made it. I'm going to heaven. And if it catches up with him again, and he drops back in those old wicked ways right here, it's worse than it was to begin with. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto him. Worse off. He was bad to begin with. He was evicted right here, and he comes cleansed right here, and he goes back right here. It's worse than he ever had. Because that grace right here is involved with obedience, with faith. You're turning and you're staying and you live with the Lord. All right, if one of you would say, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if what? Have not works is dead. What did we read in that first scripture? Grace plus nothing. And here it says, faith without works is dead. Your faith, your righteousness, your efforts, your coming to church, your reading the Bible, your belief system, whatever you're thinking and believing right here, if you don't accompany that with a follow-up of with the leadings of the Spirit of God, he's talking to you. I know he does. I know he talks to me, and he talks to you, and he's telling you this. You need to do this. You need to, there's something for you to do. I can sit here all day long and worry about Cody right here, but if I'm not doing anything right here, I don't help you. That's the way it is with me. If I'm in a bad way right here, and you sit there and you cluck your tongue and you say, well, I'm sorry for you, Randy, and I wish it wasn't that way. And if you haven't helped, if you haven't done, if you haven't said a prayer, if you didn't come to my rescue right here, none of your righteous thoughts and divine words that you're saying right here has any effect on you whatsoever. Faith, it has to be combined with the works of God. They come together there. They're automatic. God is talking. I've said this before. God is talking, and he's talking to you. He's talking to everybody. I believe everybody in this room. He's talking to you, and he's commanding in his way right here. He said, Randy, this is what I want you to do. I don't want to do that. Remember that little scenario that Jesus said? He said there was a man, a father that had two sons. And the father told the son right here, he said, I want you to go in the field, and I want you to work for me today. And the son says what? I ain't going to do it. I refuse to do it. And he does. The other son comes on board right here, and dad talks to him likewise. And says, son, he says, I want you to go in the field and work for me today. I will, Daddy. I got no problem with it. I can handle it. I'll do it. And he does it. Jesus says, who did the will of the Father? That's the difference between the grace of the world and the grace of the Bible and the Book of Mormon. The grace of the Bible and the Book of Mormon is talking about, I'm speaking to you, I'm talking to you, is anybody listening? And that's what he wants. And if somebody's listening, you're responding to that Holy Spirit. Now, oftentimes it's not comfortable. Oftentimes you got to do things that you would not want to do. I remember a story of Skeet Yates. And in that story there, he was told by, I may have told this story, probably have. And he met a man on the road out there in Mexico, and he says, Senor Yates right here, you need to come to my house. And he comes to his house, and he sees a woman in a hammock with her lips chawed off and drool coming out of her mouth. And the drool lands in the dirt of the floor right here, and the flies were in the drool. And said he just fell back when he saw that sight right there. He said, I can't handle that. That's more than I can handle right there. That's ugly. Nothing as terrible and ugly as what I'm looking at. But he said with trembling hands right here, he laid hands on her, and he left. Well, it was sometime later he met that man in the street. He said, Senor Yates, you need to come to my house. Well, okay. He goes to his house, and there is that woman. That woman is sweeping her floor with a dirt broom right here. Smile on her face, and the hammock is up right here, and she invited him in. Faith, he could have that faith all day long right here. Help that old woman. Help that woman, heal her up. I mean, bless her right here. But he was engaged, and the Lord involved him in that work. And he was called to be engaged. And he came and he was engaged right here, and the testimony stands. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O God, or O vain man? He comes down, and I hear the thunder in his voice. And I can hear him say this, O vain man, you need to understand this, that faith without works is dead. It is non-important what we say. That grace, demands of that grace is that grace and that love and that beckoning of God and that assurance as he's taken us down the path to certain salvation and deliverance. And he's doing that, and we're hanging on grace. And we're hanging on what he's talking. He's talking to us. He's speaking to us. He's beckoning us. He's asking us to come on board, to be involved, to be engaged in those things oftentimes that are kind of ugly and kind of unsavory and sort of awful. But he's asking us to do that. O vain man, that thou, faith without works is dead. Jesus says this, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that what? Endureth to the end. Well, where's the grace in all this? The grace is the package. The grace is the involvement. The grace is the free gift that he gives you, and as you respond to that and you are moved by that, you perform that and you do that, and whatever is asked of you, you're doing it. He that endureth to the end, you've been suffering and you got persecution. Some of us, and probably going to hear see more of this in some future day, real persecution coming. And the Lord is asking us, endure that. Just because you haven't seen me reminds me of Lehi's vision. Lehi's vision, he meets this man on the road. And this man is probably Jesus. But he meets this man on the road, and the man on the road says, come and follow me. And so he follows him, and what happens to the man on the road? Anybody know? He disappears. Is he gone? No. He just disappeared. Remember the story about the Indians? Is this young 12-year-old Indian brave right here? He's going to go up and be a man. He's going to climb the mountain. And his dad said, well, I'll walk part way with you. He walks part way. Then he says goodbye to his son. His son goes to the top of the mountain, and he hunkers down, builds a little fire. And it's cold, and it's scary, and the night sounds come right here, and he's frightened. But he endures it. Endures it come morning right here, and then he gets up, and he walks back down to meet his dad halfway down the mountain. He says, Dad, where were you? It was scary. I didn't think I was going to make it. Where'd you go? I was up there with you. I was up there with you. He that endures to the end shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized. This is Jesus talking. He who believes and is baptized, I'm going to wrap you up in grace. I can hear your desire. Your desire is you want to do the will of God. I can see it, and I'm going to cloak you. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. Don't leave me, God might say. Don't drift away so far as you make it hard for me to get you back. But I'm going to wrap you up with power and understanding. And a portion of the grace right here, and you're going to endure to the end, and then you get everything. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, what? Pretty stout words. He that is hearing the word of God, he that has heard the word of God is penetrating his heart and his mind, and he's softening him up. He is to be saved. He will be saved. But he that rejects all that, I don't have to do that. I don't believe water baptism. I don't believe we have to do that. Those little things, that's a work right here. And so I don't believe you have to do that. All I want is I just want to be saved. Give me grace right here. And then I'm back to the pool hall. And Jesus doesn't work that way. James says this, and one of you say unto them, no matter who it is, believer or unbeliever, saved or unsaved, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, and ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What does it do? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, grace without works, grace without the leadings of the Spirit, grace with your attempt to right here to do it your own way, is not going to work. But the grace is warm and it's tight and it's all-encompassing and it's going to take you all the way to the end of the road there if you believe in the Lord. Even so, faith, if not hath works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me the faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe. Seem like I just read that. But well, thou know, old man, that faith without works is dead. All right. I got a little button right here, and I never know whether to push it or pull it. Did I read that? All right. Stay with me. All right. We had my daughter stay and her family stay with us, and they got a big old dog. And that dog in the middle of the night started to howl. Why is he howling? He wants us. I love you. I want to hug you. I want to be in your bed with you. I can't live. I'm down here in the basement, and I'm in my cage right here, you know. I want to be with you. Well, that was the way we all are. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And they know it. The sheep know it. If you don't know it, then you may not be a sheep. But the sheep know his voice. They know when he's telling the truth, when he's saying something for their benefit, even though it's hard. He's saying it right here because he wants to gather his sheep, and he knows them. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We don't know when, and I personally like to tell myself right here, I don't need the honor, and I may be saying that wrong. I don't have to be told you're a good guy. I don't have to be told right here that you did the right thing. I don't have to know that, but Jesus right here, if you serve him, there is some day coming for which he's going to honor his children. Maybe now, maybe later. But that's the Lord himself says that. Now, which way should I go? Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. I probably told this. I got to tell it again. I'm down in Manchester, Tennessee. I'm down in Manchester, Tennessee, and we're meeting in a furniture store. We're meeting in that furniture store, and Sister Geneva is there, and it's her store. And in her store there, she's got a big space filled full of all kinds of furniture everywhere, but in the corner right here is her office. And in that office right here, there's a doorway that goes into the office. You go in that doorway. But on this side of the office, up high, for some reason, there's a window vent, probably 8-10 feet long, not that big. And I said, Geneva, what would you think if you come in here sometime, and I didn't know you was here, and you come in and you saw me climbing up that little side window? Here's the door over here. I'm climbing up the side of the window. What would you think? I think I'd shoot you. And she meant it. And that's what we're talking about right here, is a thief and a robber. And they got a whole lot of thieves in this world, and they got it in their mind how they're going to promulgate their religion. They got it in their mind right here that I know, in fact, as I was saying that, we've got a lot of people that come visit us, especially come springtime and come summertime. And these guys that come here, right here, they have the solution. And I've told this before right here, but they have the solution right here. And I can stop them. I said, before you say a thing, let me tell you what you're going to say. I said, all right, what am I going to say? I said, what you're going to say is that the Lord has anointed you to save independence. Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, that's what he did. And let me tell you this, that you are the only one that can do this, and you have special gifts that most ordinary people don't have. Is that what you're going to say? Well, yeah, I was going to say that. And I go down the list right here of these things this guy is going to do. He is a thief. And if we or he or anybody else is promoting the message of the gospel of God right here, if he's promoting that, and his heart is not right like we've been through right here, and he's entering into that cubicle there through that side window, he's just the same as a thief and a robber. Telling somebody, and I can't imagine Jesus, if he's standing right here and Jesus just looks at you and he penetrates your heart. Jesus is looking right there, and I can't imagine me saying, Jesus, I come to a conclusion. I don't think it's necessary to be baptized. He would probably cluck his tongue, or he'd just look at me, and I would just melt into a puddle of sewage. Anybody trying to come up some other way? anyone that got their own religion. In fact, as I remember talking to a man a long time ago, and he says, I have made my own theology. I have discovered what works for me, and that's what I do. He's the same as a thief and a robber. Anybody that's coming into that sheepfold there, and he's not declaring the word of God, and when he's serving himself rather than God right here, he's a thief and a robber. Look out. The Bible says, and I just thought of this, the Bible says right here that in Revelation, there's going to be coming those who can command fire to come out of heaven and come down. That would be hard to not accept. Well, he must be a righteous man because he called down fire. And they're thieves, the workers of wickedness. Right? All right. There's my last verse right here. This has to do with grace that I'm talking about. And here's Paul, and what he says, you can't take it from me because I know what I did. I know the time when I was in the deep there for what they say, Harvey, 3 days. A long time, Paul was in, he was underwater in a ship somehow, the way I take it. He was there fighting wild animals in the Colosseum. He's in there standing forth with multitudes of men wanting blood in their teeth and they want to kill him right here. And he's standing there declaring the word of God, before you kill me, I got one more thing to say. I fought a good fight. May that be said with you and me. We're fighting a good fight. We're not giving up. Yeah, we're hurt, we're bruised, we're bleeding right here, but I'm staying with the Lord. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I went all the way from the time that I was a persecutor of the saints all the way up to where I'm now at the guillotine, ready to give my life right here, and I finished my course. I'm fully satisfied. I don't have to apologize to anybody. I have done the best that I could in the grace that was given me. Kept the faith. I didn't waver. And I didn't say that, but this little message that I've got right here is born out of a little concern that I've got. That little concern is it's easy to accept a doctrine which says, all you gotta do is just say, I believe in the Lord right here, and I'll be saved. That's all you got to do. Somebody is not filling you in with the whole bill. Somebody is not telling you the words of Jesus. And you've been hearing it. You can read it in your own word right here. This is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is how we get there. And you get there by faith on the Lord. I've got faith, Lord, on you right here. Make of me a man that I can't do myself. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, as a result. I can see this, and I can see this coming. I'm almost there. I'm almost got it made. I'm almost to the guillotine. I'm almost to the Lord's day. I'm almost ready to have him receive me right here. I'm almost there, and I'm not giving up. I'm going to stay with the Lord all the way, whatever the demands are. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give. Or a crown of grace, or the tribute of God right here, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your rest, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We've talked about that in the Church of Christ for years and years. Lord's coming soon. I believe it's a lot sooner than I would ever expect. I believe it's on its way. I believe the Lord is looking down, and our little Book of Mormon makes that statement right here. It says, if you don't obey the God of the land right here, you're going to be rubbed out. I believe America's going to get rubbed out. But what? What's the addendum? What is the rest of the story? But to the righteous, this land will be a land of freedom forever. I believe the Lord's on his way, and he's looking for his children. He's wanting to gather them. He's wanting to fill them up with grace and duty and faith and obedience and blessing. He wants us to be the living engine that he uses to bring to pass his kingdom. God bless you all.